You're listening to All Marine Radio, broadcasting from Costa Mesa, California, on the All Warrior Radio Network.
Tim Lynch and Jeff Kenny. Wow, it's pretty amazing how the brain can just do that. What happened? Anyway, Tim Lynch and Jeff Kenny going to join us today. Yep. Democratic debates last night. I did not watch them. The president, Bob Nielsen was banging on me this morning, right? I'm not even out of bed yet. I don't know that he realized there's a time change. He thinks everybody's not in his time zone on the planet. I think, it's kind of an East Coast egocentric universe, right? All that. Yeah, have you seen that print, A New Yorker's View of the Country? And New York City runs to the outer limits of California, and then the rest of the nation is kind of squeezed into there. That's a New Yorker's view of the world, or at least the United States. So, so he called me, and he sends me the link to the story about the President of the United States rescinding Navy Achievement Medals to JAG lawyers that worked on the Gallagher court-martial. All right, so he orders the Secretary of the Navy to rescind those awards. Now, I mentioned the awards earlier this week, and I thought them ill-advised. You know, what do you award people for? Things done well. Now, I'm not privy to everything in the in how that thing went, but you had a prosecutor, you had a lead prosecutor being relieved in the middle of it. So to me, when you have events like that, is it possible for they have done meritorious work? I guess it's possible. But normally, I would offer you as evidence, you know, you know when ships have collided at sea, you know, there's two things you do. You recognize the valor of those who tried to save it and the work that they did, and then you punish those who put them in, you punish those who were involved in getting the ship in that position. So it's possible that they performed in a meritorious way. However, I'm a bit, probably like everybody else, that doesn't feel right, because the president's playing politics with the military again, and at some point, is maybe Secretary Spencer asked to see the president. Hey, Mr. President, you need to lay off some of this shit, man. All right, Don? Is it Richard Spencer or Dick Spencer? So Don and Dick sit down. Don and Rich sit down. Rich says, and Don says, why are you here? Well, I want to talk about you ordering me to rescind these Navy Achievement Medal. First of all, just so you know, Navy Achievement Medal, it's the least significant award that we give out. Okay? We give them out like they're candy. Like in a parade, people throw candy. Yeah. That's how the Navy gives Navy Achievement Medals. In the Marine Corps, it's a big deal. In the Navy, not so much. Okay? So we spread around everywhere. But I am concerned that you've taken a political stance on this, and now you, your Twitter account, are injecting yourself into what could be valid awards. Now, let me just tell you, the prosecution did have issues. And so I personally, now this is me making this shit up, right? And so what Spencer should do is he should look into the case of were they awarded based on merit? And if they were, in my opinion, he has a moral obligation to look at the commander-in-chief and say, sir, I've reviewed these Navy Achievement Medals. Right? Each one of these assistant prosecutors performed their duty in a meritorious manner, in spite of all the difficulties that were laid in front of them. They acquitted themselves well, and that's why they're being awarded. So I want you to know this. I want you to know that this is of great concern to me, that you're politicizing now the award system. So now here's the problem. The problem in all of it is he's the commander-in-chief. That's right. He's the commander-in-chief. And in theory, he gives orders. Not in theory. Well, in practice and in theory, he gives orders and we obey. But if you're a senior person and lines are being crossed, then it's incumbent upon you, right, to stand up. And this is when everybody says, speak truth to power, right? They all say that in hearings, right? I will speak truth to power. Well, how does it all get so fucked up then, if you're doing it? Right? So, anyway. And let me tell you, and the worst part for the Navy, and this goes to a SEAL platoon being sent home from Iraq, from a deployment, because of a loss of confidence. The moral of the story behind the whole Gallagher thing, which the president is you know, is reinforcing is this. The moral of that story is, right, don't turn on your team. Whatever you do, do not turn on your team. Because that was the lesson that's come out of that. To hell with the truth, to hell with our oath, right? Stay loyal to each other. Even lie if you have to, but stay loyal to the team. Now that's a lesson, whether the Navy likes or not, that everybody knows came out of that court-martial. So he's found not guilty on all those different charges. Does that mean he didn't do it? No, it means they didn't have the evidence to prove that he did it. Do you think the operators that brought this to people's attention, do you think the operators that testified that they shot more rounds warning people so that he couldn't murder them? Do you think all they made up and fabricated all those stories? No, clearly you have a guy that's out of control. But you don't have the evidence to convict him. And now the President of the United States is doubling down on all that. And now Gallagher's going to be a victim? That is truly the world upside down. That is truly the world upside down. So it'll be interesting to see what the Secretary of the Navy does. All right? So, other than tweeting, what has happened? That's the next question. Stars and Stripes, top story, above the fold, if you will. Navy Secretary Richard Spencer will rescind the military awards given to the prosecutors in the court-martial of Navy SEAL Chief Petty Officer Eddie Gallagher after President Donald Trump directed him to do so, a Navy official said on Wednesday. Quote, the Secretary is going to pull the awards, and he does have the authority to do that, said a Navy official who spoke on a condition of anonymity to discuss the matter. The official said he did not know when Spencer would rescind the awards, which were given to all the prosecutors who worked on the Gallagher court-martial. The announcement of the decision follows a tweet by Trump on Wednesday afternoon, directing Navy leadership to take away. He directed them in a tweet? Directing Navy leadership to take away the awards. The president tweeted the prosecutors were ridiculously given Navy Achievement Medal. Quote, not only did they lose the case, they had difficulty with respect to information that may have been obtained from opposing lawyers and for giving immunity to a totally incompetent fashion. Trump wrote, I have directed the Secretary of the Navy, Richard Spencer, and Chief of Naval Operations, John Richardson, to immediately withdraw and rescind the awards. The Navy Achievement Medal is given for performance. So now to me, it's incumbent upon Richardson and Spencer to review the awards. And again, as I said before, there were certainly problems with the prosecution. And so, you know, saying I'll speak truth to power, that's the easy part. Actually doing it, moderately awkward. Moderately awkward. I want to encourage everybody. Now, this is going to sound boring, right? Mac, what is wrong with you, man? Why would you tell us to do this? But I'm going to tell you anyway because I'm your friend, right? I'm here for your betterment. So what I want to tell you to do is yesterday's show, if you looked at the headline, you probably thought, that's pretty boring, right? He's playing General Berger's testimony from his confirmation hearing in late April. And truth be told, it actually isn't boring. Some of the stuff that's in there is very, very interesting. Some of it might be a little bit boring as senators kind of go down their own personal rabbit hole, right? So what you hear, though, is you hear about I think, two really interesting things. One is the Navy's inability to build ships on time and under and at the budget they've set for themselves. I would say under budget, but that would be, like, that's not something the Navy does. But anyway, I would tell you that that's, right, that's an interesting thing. And the discussion was that once we contract for this ship, the Navy keeps modifying what they want. And so it drags out the production time, it runs up the cost. And so the budgets for these ships are nowhere near what was approved. Now, you're going to hear in the second hour my thoughts and Jeff Kenney's thoughts and I think Tim Lynch's thoughts and all that. So that's interesting. The let's see. Somebody just asked me a question. I don't have the answer to it. So that's one interesting thing, just the whole shipbuilding thing. And when they do run over in terms of money, where does that money come from? And what is the impact of when they are looking for money inside their own budget? So anyway, that's a pretty interesting little discussion that goes on. The other really interesting discussion that you'll hear us talk about in the second hour is today is, and you'll hear them discuss in the hearing and General Berger's confirmation hearing is the fact that China's is by 2030, China is projected to have more naval, that they will have more naval vessels at sea than the United States will, and they will be a peer in terms of their ability to execute. Is the United States Navy prepared for that? Does the United States Navy have a plan for that? So yeah, there's a couple interesting things that I would tell you. By all means, go ahead and check that out. Go ahead and check that out. And we discussed some of it today. So, so those are big, tectonic plate type issues. And the Navy got to get its shit together, man, in procurement because, and that's another thing that you'll hear us talk about. You know, the CH-53 Kilo aircraft is a $100 million a copy for a helicopter. Okay, in case you didn't hear that, $100 million per copy for a helicopter. Now, I mean, it's great to have, you know, the highest speed stuff, but if that means that you can't buy very many, is that a good deal or a bad deal? I mean, I think there's some kind of happy medium involved in procurement that we got to have enough of these things and we got to be able to sustain it, you know. And it doesn't seem to me, as I look at the budget, you know, this technology is so sophisticated that you see both the Air Force and the Navy looking at, yeah, we'd really like to be all in on the F-35, but guess what? We can't be. Jack Keane just got done talking about evidently Osama bin Laden's son, who was attempting to pick up the banner, the family banner, has been killed, and that's been confirmed. Jack Keane talking about it a few minutes ago on Fox News.
Awaiting reaction from the Trump administration on the death of Osama bin Laden's son, Hamza bin Laden, reportedly being groomed for leadership within al-Qaeda. Details on his death right now are pretty scarce, but one U.S. official telling Fox News that U.S. played a role in that. Here to talk about it is General Jack Keane, retired four-star general, chairman at the Institute for the Study of War, and a Fox News senior strategic analyst. General, thanks for being here this morning. What can you, first of all, just tell us about what we know about the death of Osama bin Laden's son?
Yeah, well, certainly we're likely protecting sources here as to why we're not revealing what the circumstances are surrounding. We're not even discussing, you know, when this happened. I'm convinced the United States played some kind of a role here because we're the most focused country on the al-Qaeda threat, given what happened in our own country as a result of their attack. And it's reported it may have happened in the Afghan-Pakistan area where the youngster was moving back and forth. So I don't think we're going to get those details until later, but I think we can make some judgments about what does that mean. This was the future face of al-Qaeda in terms of the 30-year-old son of its iconic leader, who he happened to kill. And I think that probably would impact recruiting, which they were using him quite a bit for, and maybe the brand a little bit. But operationally, I think it's quite insignificant. The al-Qaeda movement in Afghanistan, Pakistan, in Yemen, in Syria, northern Africa, eastern Africa, that will go on and won't miss a beat. And how do we know that? Because when we killed Osama bin Laden, it didn't impact the organization operationally either. And that's the reality that we're dealing with here. We have to remind our viewers that while these leaders gain a lot of prominence, this movement has always been about its ideas. It is an ideology, and people are attracted to the movement because of the ideology, and therefore it lives beyond the death of their leaders.
So is it fair to say that his death would have little or no impact on the future of this terror group?
I think it does impact the recruiting, because if he proved himself operationally, in terms of his leadership capability, that's still an unknown. I think they were looking to him as one of the future faces of the organization, because the current leadership, obviously, is quite elderly by comparison to where they want to be 20 years from now. So, yeah, that's where there is some impact.
Lastly, we haven't gotten a response yet from the president himself, as he was asked about the reports of Osama bin Laden's son's death, but he said he didn't want to comment, and I don't want to comment on that. Thank you very much. The State Department, we know in February, offered $1 million reward for information leading to bin Laden's son, but again, we have not heard yet from the Trump administration on this yet. Do you expect we will?
I think we may hear some more information on it when they decide how to protect their sources and methods. On the al-Qaeda social network, there is some reporting that he is dead. But normally this organization, when any one of its leaders is killed, obviously even by their enemies, they always report it themselves, as they did with the death of Osama bin Laden. And then they celebrate the martyrdom that represents, and they use that for the movement to move on in terms of that person's sacrifice. That has not happened. So we'll wait and see.
All right. On the Afghanistan troop withdrawal, initially it was by fall of 2020. Now Mike Pompeo saying there is no deadline, but he says that the president is still committed to getting troops out of Afghanistan as soon as possible. Here's Mike Pompeo. The president's been very direct about his expectations that we will reduce our operational footprint on the ground in Afghanistan just as quickly as we can get there. I hope they're out not only before the next election, but before we land today, said Mike Pompeo. So he says they got it wrong. I mean, where do you see this troop withdrawal happening or when, based on what you're hearing?
I think it's sort of an open secret that the president wants the troops out of Afghanistan before the election. And that has created momentum towards a peace negotiation. So we've got a team put together led by the State Department's personal envoy, Zal Khalizade, who's negotiating with the Taliban to withdraw our troops based on the condition that the Taliban would ensure and provide a guarantee to the United States that an al-Qaeda safe haven or an ISIS safe haven would not occur in Afghanistan, as it did with the al-Qaeda that caused the death of so many Americans. Most of us who have a working familiarity with Afghanistan and been there many times and know the players are usually skeptical of a promise made by the Taliban to do something like that, because there's no reason to trust them, certainly. And we also have some concerns that when you put in motion an energy about getting out, we got to get out, the momentum that creates leads you to maybe a deal about withdrawal as opposed to a deal about a permanent peace.
All right, General Jack Keane, always good to catch up with you. Thank you.
Yeah, the Taliban. Hey, you'll make sure that there's women's rights and all that, right? Of course. We will do that consistent with Islamic law and our traditions. What? Wait a minute. What does that mean? It means we agree with you. You can leave. Goodbye. We will take care of that. They will. We honor our women. Our women are the treasure of Afghanistan, and we will make sure that they are taken care of. Okay, all that's code for, right? Go get your burqa dry cleaned, because that thing's going back on. So again, obviously, President Trump feeling the sting of the backlash of the conservative community, saying that now we're going to cut and run out of Afghanistan, right? And so Pompeo walking back that which he said just Monday. So anyway, interesting. So good Thursday morning to you. Don't touch that dial. We'll check the news. And Secretary Spencer, truth to power. Yeah, I said that in my hearing, but, you know, am I going to ask for an audience with the president after he's given me an order? Nobody wants to get on his bad side, right? Right. Right? Does he get down, out? So the president gets out the 9,000-foot screwdriver and starts reaching in and deciding who's going to get awards. Now, as commander-in-chief, right, he can do that. He can do that, right? But is that if Secretary of the Navy doesn't reach down there? And let me tell you, there is some validity to what the president has to say. I'm not going to lie to you. That prosecution had issues. But, again, just like a ship that collides, it doesn't mean that people couldn't have performed meritoriously. And normally we leave that to the local command. You know, so to me, it's incumbent upon Secretary Spencer to review that and say, no, these three, they brought all these issues up to this guy. That's the reason why they are receiving awards. But here's the problem with that. The Navy tends not to do awards like that, right? The Navy gives awards to everybody because that's what they do, right? So when you complete a deployment, I mean, everybody gets awards. Yeah. They hand them out by, you know, by the jar. Here you go. So the question is, did they do their duty, right? Did they raise these issues about the prosecution to the lead prosecutor, right? And if they did, then they rate the award. They performed meritoriously under difficult circumstances and a highly visible, you know, court martial. They did what they were supposed to do and beyond what they were supposed to do. Now, that would be for Secretary Spencer to determine. If Secretary Spencer just does his dancing chicken routine because the president turns up the heat on the burner, then to me, that's the whole problem with the speak truth to power thing. Much easier to say in a hearing than live up to during subsequent events. So, anyway. All right. United States Marine Corps band makes this morning official. We'll check news headlines next. Stand by, targets. Okay, let me do that again. I gave that awesome lead up, and then I had the wrong channel open. I didn't have this channel. Stand by, targets. We'll be right back. is dedicated to Secretary Spencer. I hope you do the right thing. And I know you're supposed to follow orders, but as the head of the Department of the Navy, it's important that the right message gets sent. And if the wrong message is getting sent, then you have a moral obligation to look at the president and say, hey, Mr. President, I just want you to know that I think this is the wrong thing to do based on what I've been told by the commanding officer of XYZ. And if the president then looks at you and says, I got it, Rich, do it anyway, then at that point you say, yes, sir. That's called the salute point. All right. Is it worth resigning over? God, no. Okay. But I think there is, it should be about the truth. What is the truth? And again, it's just like saying that, you know, those damage control people on that ship, on the Fitzgerald, on the McCain, you know, that ship was, you know, it was culpable for, you know, for turning in front of other ships. It was, you know, it was poorly crewed, and nobody deserves an award. Well, that's not true. So, good luck, Rich. This is dedicated to you.
You're betraying your whole life if you don't say what you think, and you don't say it honestly and bluntly.
It defines us. It defines warriors like Gunnery Sergeant John Canley, a leader who led from the front. With his Marines outnumbered, he pushed forward during the Battle of Way City, standing tall during firefights and throwing himself into harm's way to keep his fellow Marines safe.
The only thing I was doing was just responding. The Marines, the young Marines, it shows them that it's not do as I say, it's do as I do. And just being that close with them brings motivation to them.
During firefights, when we'd be all hugging Mother Earth, he'd be standing up directing us. And I think if you talk to every Alpha Company Marine, we're amazed that he was never shot.
For this campus had prepared him well. I'm very confident that, thank you very much. If this was vodka, it'd be a lot better speech. But I'm not supposed to glamorize alcohol anymore, so young folks, you ignore what I just said.
What keeps you awake at night?
Nothing. I keep other people awake at night.
If you don't love your Marines, then you really ought to get out. The only reason I stuck around that low paying outfit 40 years is for the absolute pleasure of serving alongside cocky, rambunctious, disciplined, selfless, unbelievably selfless young Marines. And the infantry got its name, infantry, young soldier. And I enjoyed being around them. And in the military, it's all about the team. And so if you don't know the team players beyond simply their rank and last name, you don't care about them deeply. I mean, just go up to Bethesda any time you want to see the cost of war and see the ranks on the rooms that you're walking into. Lance Corporal here, Lance Corporal there, CFC here, Sergeant there, Lieutenant. If you don't care about these guys, don't expect them to care about what's important to you. They're putting their lives on the line.
I had a Vietnam vet tell me one time, Jeremiah. He goes, PTSD, it's like having a cage in your brain, it's like having a cage full of monkeys. The goal is to keep the monkeys in the cage, because once them bastards make the jailbreak, all hell breaks loose, so you want to keep them in the cage.
Once you're out of the Corps, you know, it's your responsibility to live your life in a way that would honor those that were with you and died. I mean, don't waste your life. Goodness, do something meaningful and don't be going out there saying, look, oh, woe is me, I'm a poor veteran, or I'm a disabled veteran. Well, yeah, I am a disabled veteran. But, you know, we can't have that kind of attitude. We've got to show people that, hey, we care about our country. We care about what happens to everyone. Marine Corps changed me. It made me a better man, but I don't know a Marine that wouldn't tell you the same thing, Mike.
We just have to execute. And we are executing every day, and Sergeant Major and I are very proud of what you do. Doesn't mean we can't get better. We don't want to make a mistake to learn. We don't want to lose to learn. We cannot lose if we have to go fight. We got to do what these Marines did here 75 years ago. Persevere against difficult, challenging conditions and odds and win. We got to win.
All right, time to check the weather. Currently, mostly sunny, 82 in Quantico. Partly cloudy at 87 at Camp Lejeune. 29 Palms, warmed up again. Sun in 88 already at 8:38 in the morning. So it's going to be warm there. Camp Pendleton, cloudy and 67 degrees. Stand by. Something was missing from my weather page, so I had to refresh it. All right, and let's see. Yeah, the little slider thing didn't show up. Currently at Camp Smith in Hawaii, it's dark cloudy in 79. Okinawa, dark cloudy in 83. In the Al-Anbar province of Iraq, it is sunny in 108. In the Helmand province of Afghanistan, it's cooled off. Dark, clear, and 97 degrees. At the Costa Mesa, the Newport Beach area, it's a little bit warmer. Partly cloudy and 69 degrees. Looking for a high of 82 to 84 on Friday and 83 on Saturday. That's a look at your weather. Don't touch that dial. We come back. We'll do news headlines. And then the Lynch and Kenny event will take place here coming up at about 9:05. So, more Ball Marine Radio coming up next.
America's injured and critically ill service members face incredible challenges every day of their lives. Since 2004, the Semper Fi Fund has helped thousands of service members and their families with both immediate and long-term needs. Join the Semper Fi Fund in supporting American heroes. They've given so much. Now it's our turn. Learn how your tax-deductible donation makes a real difference in their lives at SemperFiFund.org.
All you veterans, listen up. This is Bob Nielsen, former Marine and founder of the 100 Entrepreneurs Project. Turner Construction is looking for veterans with real-world leadership experience to join their team of professionals.
Hold on, Nielsen. Are we talking about a job or a career?
Matt, Turner Construction is a great company with global opportunities for veteran leaders who are looking to start professional careers. I know. I returned to Turner after I got back from Vietnam and retired after 50 years. I had a great career traveling the world leading teams of Turner employees as we built incredible projects.
Are they looking for me to have construction experience, Bob?
Absolutely not. Turner is looking for leaders who have led under pressure. We want leadership. So if you're led in Iraq or Afghanistan or any other contingency, Turner Construction is actively looking for you.
So, a career with competitive pay, good benefits, and a company seeking veteran leaders. That's what we're talking about.
Bingo. We're on the right road when a grunt can understand it. Good job, Mac.
I appreciate that there, Nelson. How do I get the ball rolling? What do I do?
Just email your resume to jobs@allmarineradio.com, and I will personally contact you and we'll begin the process.
I love it. Turner Construction is looking for veteran leaders who are looking for careers to join their veteran-friendly team. Email Bob Nielsen at jobs@allmarineradio.com. Let's do it.
A message from DAV to all returning veterans. Thank you. Thank you for doing your duty. Thank you for doing our bidding. Thank you for laying it all on the line. Thank you for stepping up and not backing down. Thank you for putting your future on hold to put our enemies on notice. Thank you for putting your buddies' lives ahead of your own. Thank you for putting yourself in harm's way. Thank you for defending our freedom, for displaying your honor, for being a hero, even though you don't want to be called one. For all this and more, DAV thanks you. And we're here to help you. Expert DAV advisors will make sure you get the health, disability, and financial benefits you were promised and earned. If you're a veteran, visit DAV.org for free help. And again, thank you.
I'm good, but I have a story, and I don't know where to start.
I'm good, but I feel alone in a crowd.
I'm good, but the past keeps coming back.
When the service member or veteran in your life says,
I'm good.
Are you really listening?
I'm good, but I can't get out of bed.
I'm good, but I can't sleep.
I'm good, but I feel overwhelmed.
I'm good, but I don't feel safe.
I'm good, but I still have nightmares.
I'm good, but I don't need any help.
I'm good, but I don't feel anything anymore.
I'm good, but I can't live like this anymore.
I'm really not so good. Are you ready to listen?
Suicide prevention is everyone's responsibility. Listen to the veteran or service member in your life. If you are in crisis or know someone who is, call the Veterans Crisis Line and Military Crisis Line at 1-800-273-8255 and press 1 for free 24/7 confidential support.
Hi, I'm Colleen McNamara. And you're listening to My Dad on All Marine Radio on the All Warrior Radio Network.
You know, Colleen actually does a good job on that. I hesitate to give her a compliment.
I wanna walk into a cold, bitter.
Yeah, she'll turn 16 this month. That seems impossible, honestly. All right, we've already talked about the top stories in Stars and Stripes, and that is Secretary Spencer has had the white-hot spotlight put on him, and there's elements of truth to what the president says, but there's also potentially the fact that the president's playing politics with the verdict he didn't, with the prosecution he didn't particularly care for. And all of that lands on the Secretary of Navy's desk. And according to inside sources, they say that he will rescind those awards. No mention if he called the president and talked about him. Next headline. North Korean soldier defects to the south in midnight DMZ river crossing, the military says. Now, it's always interesting when these guys cross. And then they give them a physical and they tell you about what they find in their system. The tapeworms and shit like that. And I remember the last one I remember was a guy who he took off through the DMZ during the day and they caught it on film, right? People are shooting at him, he's running, and he made it. He made it and survived. So, Pretty interesting. So the story today is a North Korean soldier defected to South Korea in a midnight river crossing in a border area known listen to this in the border area known as the Demilitarized Zone, South Korea. In the border area known as the Demilitarized Zone? Okay. Isn't that the only border between the two, though? Anyhow, the defection comes at a sensitive time. The soldier was spotted via a thermal observation device in the Imjin River about 11:38 p.m. Wednesday after crossing a central section of the military demarcation line that divides a peninsula, according to the Joint Chiefs of Staff. The river was swollen from the rainy weather, making it difficult for local troops to determine the object in the river was a person until the soldier emerged from the water just before midnight, official told reporters at a briefing. The local military unit then sent a team to look at the individual who took the individual safely into custody, they said, adding that no unusual North Korean military movements were detected in the area. The man is an active duty soldier who expressed his desire to defect to the South. Related procedures are underway. More than 30,000 North Koreans who have defected to the South have escaped via China and other countries. Yeah, going the swollen river route, that's rolling the dice a little bit, eh? That's rolling the dice. So, anyway, congratulations to him or her. Probably him, right? In a not good story, an F-18 pilot crashed in/near Death Valley. Bystanders were injured during the impact. It was a F-18 Super Hornet from Strike Fighter Squadron 151 that crashed during a routine training flight over Death Valley. And as of the time this went to print, 24 hours the jet had wrecked. The pilot hadn't been located. The Navy had no update this morning on efforts to recover the pilot of the Super Hornet. The jet crashed just miles from Naval Air Station China Lake, which has been in the news because of the earthquakes up there. The jet was based out of Lemoore Naval Air Station. And obviously the cause of the crash is under investigation. So, yeah, you don't see that often, that this many hours after a crash that the pilot is not able to be located. So, obviously, keep that pilot and and his or her family in your thoughts and prayers. So, yeah, just kind of an odd story. You know, the movie Top Gun back in the news, right? And so a lot of this has already been approved by the Navy down to the pilot details. And you know, this is the sequel to the extremely popular, especially among pilots. The Navy did review the script so that it was accurate and be consistent with details in the Navy. However, right, some things that have changed have caught people's attention, and so it's interesting that, for instance, we talked about it last week, but patches on Maverick's jacket. The patch of Japan has been removed. The patch of Taiwan has been removed. Why is that? Is that a capitalist decision? So that it's more marketable in China? Or did somebody put pressure on somebody that, you know, we don't want to see China as an adversary. We're not selling that song. So that's part of this whole movie as it rolls out. kind of an interesting story out of Afghanistan, and it has to do with the way people make money and corruption and things like that. Afghan security forces strength at lowest level since 2015, a U.S. watchdog says. Now, the question is why? Afghan's military and police forces strength numbers have fallen to the lowest level they have been since 2015. The sharp drop in personnel numbers may be linked to a new way of tallying staff data, under which only those who have been biometrically validated in a new pay system are included. The report by the IG for Afghan Reconstruction says, the new Afghan personnel and pay system showed that the country's army and air force had 9,554 fewer personnel, and the Afghan police, listen to this, nearly 25,000 fewer than reported to SIGAR last quarter. Now, that's only because everybody had to be, right, hermetically sealed in order to get paid. You had to be batted, right, into the bat system. Biological something, something. What does BAT stand for? What does BAT biological stand for? BAT. Nah, geez. It keeps telling me about bats. All right, I don't know. If somebody knows, email it to me. So the way the corrupt system works is you have people that may come onto your roles and leave, but you don't purge the role. You continue to collect money from them, and that goes into the coffers of the chief of police. That's how it works. So while we may have 25,000 we may have 150,000 on the rolls, right? Only 125,000 report to work, right? And the other 25,000, that money goes, that's bonus money to the chief of police, and that keeps everybody in line. So yeah, that's how the system works, and that's how they do it. All right, top stories in USNI News. You know, I'm gonna have to listen to Vice Admiral Michael Gilday, who was just did his confirmation hearing, right, to be the CNO after Admiral Moran was forced to step down, right. So, Vice Admiral, headline, Vice Admiral Gilday acknowledges ship maintenance challenges, vows to study barriers to readiness. So, you can see the Navy's having huge, right? Navy's having huge problems with their Ford carrier program, right? And, you know, you can't screw it up like this. You can't screw it up because the money involved in it, right, is too much. So I'll go through that and call out what I think is pertinent. Because these big money issues that the Navy's screwing up, I mean, they've got to get that shit fixed. That's the dollars involved in it are too big. So anyway, that's in the news. Marine Corps Times News. Top story is hazing at 8 to 9. That's always a favorite story. The Senate Armed Service Committee has advanced General John Hyten's nomination to the Senate. And again, it was a big fight yesterday. Martha McSally. You had veterans on that panel, Martha McSally and Who's the other one? Jody Ernst. Both are veterans. Both took different stances. Ernst took issues with how he handled, she had made other allegations, right? So this was her trying to take him down for whatever reason. And so Ernst took him to task for that. You're going to be the assistant number two guy in the U.S. military, and you didn't have the good sense to get her off your staff if she was doing this stuff? And Martha McSally, defended him. So pretty interesting theater yesterday. And this whole, can anybody survive an allegation? And pretty high visible stuff. So it's been pretty interesting to follow. The story in Marine Corps Times, and we talked about it earlier, but Mike Pompeo backtracks on Afghanistan withdrawal by the fall of 2020. Now, I mean, I think most people were stunned that, it's a page out of Barack Obama, right? Secretary of State Mike Pompeo on Tuesday backtracked on comments suggesting a massive U.S. troop withdrawal from Afghanistan before the 2020 election, flatly stating, "There is no deadline for the end of the American mission there." Wait a minute, but on Monday you said the president told him to get out by the election. In response to reporters' questions en route to a diplomatic trip to Thailand, Pompeo criticized the press for misinterpreting his earlier answers for when the 18-year-old conflict will come to a close. "They got it wrong," he said. "The president has been very direct about his expectations that we reduce our operational footprint on the ground in Afghanistan just as quickly as we can get there. I hope they're out not only before the next election, but before we land today." Ooh. A day earlier, during an appearance at the Economic Club of Washington, D.C., Pompeo was asked, "Before the next presidential election in the United States, would you expect to reduce our troops in Afghanistan?" He responded by saying, "That's my directive from the President of the United States. He's been unambiguous. End the endless wars, drawdown reduced." So interesting, as Mike Pompeo does the Watusi. Another story by Sean Slow. D.C. Barracks Marine charged with murder in New Year's Day shooting of a Lance Corporal at Marine Barracks, Washington, D.C. A Marine security guard assigned to Marine Barracks, Washington, D.C. has been charged with murder, among other offenses, in the New Year's Day shooting death of Lance Corporal Riley Kuznia, according to a charge sheet. According to details on the charge sheet obtained by Marine Corps Times, Lance Corporal Andrew Johnson allegedly shot Kuznia in the head after pointing a pistol at him and yelling "the trigger in jest" and pulling the trigger in jest. Kuznia was identified in the charge sheet by his initials. Johnson was also charged with negligent homicide and involuntary manslaughter in Kuznia's death, the murder being the most serious offense detailed in the charge sheet. Johnson will face an Article 32 hearing, which is essentially his arraignment, where these charges will be scrutinized and a decision will be made on what's going to happen and how that will go forward. The charge sheet details that around 25 November 2018, Johnson allegedly removed his pistol from his holster while dancing, and then again around December 31st, 2018, Johnson allegedly removed his pistol from his holster, chambered around, and said, "Or you're going to party? Fuck this shit," or some similar phrase, the charge sheet reads. Johnson also was hit for allegedly improperly clearing his pistol in the wrong area without a supervisor around January 1, according to the charge sheet. A report from the D.C. Metropolitan Police obtained by Marine Corps Times detailed that D.C. police officers responded to a shooting at the D.C. Marine Barracks around 5:05 a.m. on January 1st. The police report detailed that there were two unnamed suspects at the scene of the shooting. One subject had been handling a firearm while the other individual was transported to the Washington Hospital Center. Kuznia was pronounced dead at 5:59 a.m. on 1 January. According to the police report, he was 20 years old. Stupid. How about this for an interesting story? Research finds veterans earn more than non-veterans. How about that? A new study conducted by the University of Akron looked to see if there was a difference between wages earned by military veterans compared with non-veterans. The study found that military veterans earned higher wages, averaging nearly $26 an hour, while non-veterans averaged just $21 an hour. The study entitled The Veteran Wage Differential looked at an average wage of military veterans and non-veterans across the U.S. between 2005 and 2015. It was conducted by two professors, Dr. Francisco Reyna and Dr. Amanda Weinstein. Many people are surprised when I show them that veterans tend to have higher wages than non-veterans. Why? We're ballers, man. Come on, everybody knows that. No, you want to know? Because many in the population believe you join the military because you don't have any other options. They still believe that. Now, they'll be respectful of the military, but they believe that. Oh, he joined the military? Must not have had any other options. Other factors may be veteran populations tend to choose to enter occupations and industries that require more education, higher skill sets like engineering, healthcare, government, according to the study. The third main set of factors the study attributed to higher wages were skills veterans gained in the military that set them up for success in the civilian world, such as greater cognitive and people skills. Yeah. The number one factor, though, was veterans have higher levels of work experience, are often older, and more likely to be married and have children, which means they act like grown-ups. So there you have it. Hire a vet. Make more money. Become a veteran. There you go. Boom. Somebody got their secret decoder ring out and cracked the code. All right. Top five stories in Early Bird, and then you'll hear the Lynch Kenny event here on a Thursday. Number one, Trump nixes NAMs for four prosecutors tied to the Gallagher case. So we've talked about that. Two, Democratic debate offers first look at candidates, Afghanistan, and national security plans. I did not watch it, right? But you know what everybody's going to say. Get the troops out. Bring them home. Peace in our time. That's the way that goes. I didn't see it, though. I mean, somebody would surprise me if they did not say that. Number three, Pompeo backtracks on Afghanistan withdrawal. So, Mike Pompeo doing the Watusi. Now, I don't know why this story's back in the news, but Marines reprimand one star alleged to have bullied subordinates and devalued women. This is about General Cooling, who was at the head of the Marine Corps' lobbying office in Washington, D.C. Not a good place to be showing your ass. Brigadier General Norm Cooling is currently the Assistant Deputy Commandant of Plans, Policies, and Operations, a post he was assigned to after he was fired from his job as Legislative Assistant to the Commandant in February 2018. Marine Corps spokesman Captain Joseph Butterfield told Marine Corps Times in an email that any actions taken were administrative in nature and therefore the service will not be able to provide additional information. General Quilling directed any comment on the allegations that he was disciplined back to the Marine Corps Public Affairs Office. But General Quilling did tell the Washington Post, I assume Dan Lamoth, in an email that he had been officially counseled regarding the IG's finding. So, General Quilling, accused of creating a hostile work environment, said, at no time did he do that, at no time did he demean his subordinates. So, nonetheless, he was relieved of his duties. His Marine Corps career is essentially over, and he is marking time at PP&O. Number five, Senate committee advances senior general's nomination despite sexual assault accusations. So again, much controversy coming out of this, but General Hyten, his nomination advances. Overseas operation. Air Force is ramping up airstrikes in Somalia. That's kind of interesting because the president kind of said, we're not really in favor of that. That in Yemen. North Korea says it tested crucial new rocket launch system. Again, Kim Jong-un's temper tantrums continue. He's not getting enough attention while his country continues to toil under the economic sanctions of the United States. And then the another operational story. And I think the U.S. quite rightly, this doesn't need to crow about the manner in which Hamza bin Laden, the son of Osama bin Laden, was killed, right? We have no comment to make about that. None. Right? I don't think crowing about that operation is in the interest of the United States and our people that serve around the world. The simple fact that it happened and the way that it happened will be the story that gets communicated around the world, and they can make of it what they desire to make of it. All right, we're going to take a break. When we come back, Jeff Kenny, Tim Lynch, you're going to hear from them. And what you're going to hear is Jeff Kenny wanted to talk about the Commandant's planning guidance. So that's what we're going to talk about. The, hold on. Nielsen sent me another article. And the article he sent me was from the Washington Post. President Trump is planning to nominate Ensign Sean Spicer to the Naval Academy Board. Board members review the state of morale and discipline at the Naval Academy and its curriculum and fiscal affairs. Spicer would serve the remainder of a three-year term that expires on December 31st, 2021. He serves in the U.S. Navy Reserve, holds a master's degree from the Naval War College. How did he do that? He just recently got appointed to the Navy. Now I have to look into Sean Spicer. Why does he have a master's degree from the Naval War College? So, yeah, help is on the way for the Navy. Sean Spicer en route. All right. When you come back, Jeff Kenny wanted to talk about the Commandant's planning guidance. So I played his testimony yesterday, and then we'll talk about ships and money and all kinds of different things. Modern lethality, throwing all in with the Navy, stuff like that. Because for years, the Marine Corps has kept in the party platform 38 amphibs. And now, General Berger has moved off that. So, and then there's a piece of artwork that I have to put up, that Tim Lynch, is going to talk about. So, you will see that. In the post, it's not going to have the audio with it, right? but it will be already up. So if you go to hour two, Tim Lynch is at some point towards the end of the broadcast begins to discuss, a piece of art and why it's important to him. And it has to do with discipline, gear, and uniformity, things like that. So don't touch that dial. More of All Marine Radio coming up next on a Thursday edition. You're home for it. The All Warrior Radio Network.
More than 2 million Americans have served in Iraq and Afghanistan, and the Department of Veterans Affairs reports that approximately 11 to 20% of those warriors may have experienced symptoms of post-traumatic stress disorder. As we recognize PTSD Awareness Month, Real Warriors Campaign volunteer Meg Mitchum, a former Army combat medic who served in Iraq, encourages fellow warriors to reach out when they need help.
The hardest step was admitting that I needed help coping with PTSD. Once I did, my commanding unit fully supported me, and I was able to get the care I needed. Getting support helped me succeed in the military and now in my civilian career.
If you or a loved one is coping with an invisible wound, resources are available and they work. For more information, visit the Real Warriors campaign at realwarriors.net or call 866-966-1020.
We all have the ability to touch the lives of those around us. Moms, dads, neighbors, teachers, friends. These are the people who are always there to listen when we need to talk. Though their actions may not always be monumental, they are always felt. To someone going through a difficult time, a text, a call, or a visit can mean so much. Reach out to the veterans in your life today. Let them know they're not alone. One simple act can make all the difference. That's the power of one. If you're a veteran in crisis or know one who is, visit VeteransCrisisLine.net for free 24/7 confidential support. Or call 1-800-273-8255 and press 1.